Leon was home, or was he on the streets, or would he come and go, or would he come and visit
you? He'd come and go, but my rules, Leon couldn't accept him. And he'd come back and he'd say, "Mom, I'll try to get clean." And I'd say, "Go on, there's a bed there." And Monday morning it would come and Leon would go out the door, and God love us, I wouldn't see him. Till I might see him under a tent or sitting on the floor. Some days I'd go over and give him a sandwich, but he mightn't have known me.
Oh, Christine, your misfortune. You would see him, you would approach him, and he wouldn't recognise you as his mother.
No.
Oh my God.
So we tried. I have a stepdaughter from Wales. She came over and took him back. He was over there for about 2 months. Came back on the ferry, got on the bus, got off at Turner Place, and went back onto the Hurling.
And as far as the newspapers are concerned, they only have limited circulation, but online it's endless circulation, and many, many people have seen it. We're very moved by it. In fact, found it quite sad. Was it a difficult thing to do?
Oh, it was very, very difficult for me to do. Mind you, it wasn't done in one take. There was no,
I know.
We'll try that again.
No.
It was from my heart. I wanted to say goodbye to people who had been extraordinarily good to me and kind to me over the years.
Mm.
And saying that was very, very difficult and very hard to keep back the tears at times. And but it turned out to be the only thing I could do that I thought would be effective. I'm absolutely stunned myself.
Mm.
I'm actually starting chemo tomorrow again. And that'll be... I'm very vulnerable when I'm getting chemo, and I know that.
And is that because you want to extend your time? I think you mentioned that you say it is incurable, but is that to give you more time with your family, with friends, with nature, with life?
I suppose it is, really. You've asked a very pertinent question. Yeah, of course, I want to stay with my family and friends, but if the Lord calls me in tomorrow morning, then that's okay too. But obviously, I want to contain it insofar as it can be contained for a while.
Yeah.
And it isn't that I have things I want to do. Well, I have 78 pages of my book written. It's going to be vicious. But I...
publish it after you're gone, then.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Walking in circles, as it's called. Just like everybody, every human being, you know, most human beings that I know, all of them actually, you just want to live another day. And if I don't live another day, well, then I don't live another day. That's not my call. But today has been a lovely day.
And you've been very, very honest.
It has been a wonderful day.
It has, in the sense that the sun is shining and you're still amongst us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
I also think that there's a lot of people who are listening to this now who have their own pain or their own illness or their own mental or physical struggles. And they, I hope, will take a lot of comfort and peace from what you're saying. I really believe that.
Well, I hope they do too. And don't be hard on yourself. And is my advice. Another thing that drives me to the loopy bin is when you get 15 messages one after the other on the phone or something. Be strong. Be positive. If I hear the word positivity again, I swear I'll scream. I am positive. I'm very positive about all of this.
What would you prefer people to say, Father Jar?
Just, you know, hang in there, Jar. Or, you know, we're there for you if you want us. If we can do anything, help you. A friend of mine decided he would deal with that for me. At one stage, I was telling him how much I hate it. So he sent me a text the following day saying, "Do you realise, Jerry, that the mortality rate for humanity is 100%? There are no hitches on a hearse." And he said, "Finally, life is a dead end, Jerry. Enjoy."
He's a charming friend, isn't he? I'll tell you something. I'm very sorry I missed your sermons, because I'm quite sure I'd have listened to every single word of them.
They're not too bad. They weren't too bad, I suppose.
I was on the Savage Fashion Aid, and I was on to yourselves.
Did you drop them or what? Or do you take them out of your mouth to brush them, or do you brush them in?
I brush them in, Neil.
Right. And what were you brushing them with, a fork or something?
No, one of those, you know, them there's a soft sponge, and then there's a bit of a rough side on the other side.
Yeah, what happened?
I next one did it.
Why?
That'd be like a sound thing in the morning.
Yeah,
a
secret sound. Keith's fault, teeth smash. So are you looking to get them fixed, or do you want to borrow the brother-in-law's?
Well, I'm going to try the brother-in-law's one now, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't fit me, because it should be all of the same amount of teeth, haven't we?
Yeah, well, assuming you have a full set of dentures, are they all false?
Or the whole family, I'm the top of my head. I have the toad in my head, that's what. And I go up there and I'll have to be smiling the whole lot.
So you couldn't go to the confirmation without your teeth, no? People would know.
The granddaughter wouldn't even go, Neil. He rang me and all that. Granddaughter, you can't go up like that.
Because you wouldn't be able to stand in for photographs. You wouldn't be able. Are you going for a bit of lunch after it?
Well, we're going for lunch after. All right, but that's all I could have is the soup. But I can't eat that lunch.
Soup and a straw, is it?
Soup and a straw.
So what if I can get them fixed before midday? Have we time?
Well, you know what time is it now? It's 5:11.
No, it's not. It's 12 minutes past 11.
12 minutes past 11, right? But the brother-in-law is on the way down now, Neil, right? With his.
Wait, how long will he be?
He'll be about 5 minutes, he said. I know that the neighbours have to hear, and she'll be spear-set as well.
So we have two sets that you can try. You don't sound as if you're talking to me without teeth in, though, Keith.
I know it's a niche, and I'm used to it all the time.
I'm going to talk to you when you've been talking to me like that. You feel me, babe?
No, I can talk to you normally for talking, you know what I mean? Like, I've been practicing since I was, my neighbour doesn't know Kathleen, and I'm going to try her ones then.
Do you want to try them while you're talking to me there?
Wait a moment, no. Kathleen.
See if we can.
Have you a false teeth there on you? Give us your false teeth there, let's take there. A minute, John.
You better wash them first.
I know, she's trained. Kathleen is spotless.
You can't put them in unless you wash them first. Run them under a bit of fairy liquid or something.
Or down the back. Or down the back. I just trying to get them in.
You're made of mighty stuff.
Don't sit. Now, can you? Go back, Hill. Go back.
What's wrong? Are they too small?
Huh?
Are they too small?
They're too small. I suppose women have smaller mouths, haven't they?
They have smaller mouths, I suppose. Maybe a different shaped jaw, you know?
But I'm trying to say, Neil, if we all have the same amount of teeth, we all smile the same. I know, we all laugh different. But surely it's got one will fit all, no?
Well, maybe. I don't know if you can just... You can't buy false teeth off the shelf, life. Like, you just can't. I mean, there's not an aisle down in Tesco, false teeth next to toothpaste, like...
Yeah, I suppose there's not. No, no. Hold on, there's a neighbour coming out there. Hold to me, one sec. Yeah. Go on, Anthony, show me. Go wash them. Nah, fuck it. Neil, I said, my dog, I'm bipping their mouth at me.
Stop. Stop, I'm in pain in my rib. Stop. Hang on a second. We'll hold out for the brother-in-laws and see if they fit.
Right, that's what to do. So
can you not get a little bit of wire or maybe a paper clip or something and a bit of? Can you not get super glue? No.
Oh, Disney, you can't put super glue in your mouth, can you?
Huh? What are you talking about? You're putting half the parish's teeth in your mouth. You shouldn't be worried about a drop of dry super glue.
Oh, will there be a taste of me mouth or make it hoy?
Well, it's either that or don't go, or it's either that or have soup through a straw. Hold on a second there now, because the clock's against us. Tony has a dental lab on Barrack Street. Tony!
Heating bills go up by 40%, and what do? You increase the tax on carbon tax on oil and petrol. In West Cork, where they have a terrible bus service, and certainly you could never drive an electric car down around there, it just seems very unfair. It's equally unfair that you would look at, say, for instance, 30% on the minimum wage of 10.50, when the living wage is 12.30. So still on the minimum wage, people are still living in poverty. Why doesn't one match the other?
Well, the Low Pay Commission it deals with the minimum wage, and they recommended an increase per hour, which we've approved, right? We're the second highest in Europe now in terms of minimum wage across Europe, and that is the situation there, and it's the right thing to do. And in terms of the carbon tax, I mean, we brought in legislation last year to provide for that over the next 10 years. All of the international research shows us the most effective way to disincentivize use of carbon. But more importantly, it gives us resources to make homes more fuel efficient. So we're going to do about 22,000 houses next year to make them more energy efficient.
Yeah, I know.
That will help people on low incomes to have far lower costs into the future.
I know, but the cost
more environmentally farming and give funding for that.
But the cost of petrol goes up. Wait a second. The cost of petrol goes up, and you don't buy any. Your petrol is bought for you.
You can personalise it all you like. The bottom line is the carbon tax is going to finish the point that a third of the carbon tax revenue goes to fuel poverty, goes to people who will be hit the hardest.
So staff should have known that past practices like that were no longer acceptable, but it happened nonetheless.
Yeah, I think even getting the FOI, like a lot of that correspondence for me was shocking. Like to sit down at home and read that kind of shocked me as well.
At what stage did you both know, find out yourself and Glenn, that Lee's organ had gone with clinical waste? I don't mean to upset you, but when we talk of clinical waste, we're talking about swabs and bandages and needles.
It wasn't until we got the FOI, so another FOI, I think it was during summer when we read that it was placed in a bin, placed in a yellow bin and sent to Antwerp with other clinical waste. And that was so hurtful. That was shocking.
The yellow bag, was that all of the 18 babies' organs in the same bag?
That's what we
clinical waste?
We don't know. Where that's still a question that we haven't got an answer to.
Because the babies were so tiny, the amount of space taken up in a morgue or in storage would have been
that's
a shoebox.
It wouldn't have fit. Like, I know they're saying it's COVID and the uncertainty around the pandemic. They need to declare the morgue, but 18 babies' organs isn't going to make enough room for even one body. Like, I think it was very insensitive for them not to even contact us, pick up the phone. Like, in the FOI, I can see that they knew the graveyard was full in January, as far back
as
January.
But why was incineration not an option here?
Yeah, that's
in Cork.
It. Yeah, or like that's it. Like, they could have went and found somewhere else. I know they have been searching, but they obviously didn't try hard enough.
Why not call the families and let them know that they were at least proposing to do this?
That's it. And we could have gave our spoke, and we could have went and collected our son's brain. And
correct.
Like, I just don't think they were thinking straight when they decided to incinerate our little baby's organs.
I had just gotten in. I had just gone to the bar. I had just sat down and Sophie had rang. She had just gone in, got a couple of bits, and she had walked out from Tesco's. And as she was getting halfway down the road, she could see the smoke. And when she got to the top of the road, the fire brigade was there and all by the time Sophie had got back, you know. To be fair, they were so, so quick.
I know, but she must have nearly collapsed when she realised it was her home.
She did. She rang me. She was screaming. She rang me. And I was upstairs, and with the noise, I couldn't hear her. And I was saying, what is she screaming at me for? So I kind of came down the stairs and went back. I went outside the door and I rang her back. And I was like, what's the matter? And she was like, the house is on fire. The house is on fire. The dogs are inside. So I took my heels off downstairs and flannelies and ran up the stairs.
What was that run like? What was going through your head?
I can't remember.
Well, you knew that your son was there, didn't you? At least.
I did.
At least
I
one
did.
Of them.
I did. I cannot remember those few minutes.
Because Veronica from Ballyfihan was on the air and she was up against Jason and Mallow. Now, Jason ultimately won the €1,000 voucher. But Veronica told a lovely story on the air about how if she won, she'd replace her wedding ring that she lost. And her husband purchased the wedding ring for her in Michelle Jewelers. This is the conversation. I was told that you lost your wedding ring.
I did, yeah.
You took it off because it was too tight and you can't find it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I didn't lose a blast in fairness when I told them, but...
Oh, my God. Have you been everywhere and anywhere looking for where you might have left it?
Well, it has to be somewhere in the house, but I just don't know where.
Where did you last have it? If I knew that, I could find it.
The unit somewhere in the sitting room, but I just can't find it.
It's the Queen of Diamonds. Oh my God.
Congratulations.
I never thought I'd feel sorry for somebody losing a competition as much as I do for Veronica.
No stress.
All right, well, Veronica, you were very magnanimous in defeat. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Have you found the wedding ring in the last 7 days?
No, but on Saturday morning, Jim came in and made a huge gesture. He gave me the wedding ring out of the bar and back.
So are you happy out and unsorted?
Thrilled a bit.
Well, you wouldn't believe what happened to me on Friday afternoon.
Okay.
I got a call from Tim Keane, who owns Michelle Jewelers, right? And he joins me by phone. Timothy, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, Tim.
And we had a little chat and you came up with a suggestion, Tim.
I did indeed. I was so impressed, Veronica, about your story. And I said, you know what? It's nice to bring a bit of good cheer. Forget the advertising and that, but to bring a bit of good cheer. So, Veronica, we're going to replace your wedding ring to you. free of charge.
Thank you so much. That's brilliant.
Tim, are you aware that she bought and got the original one of Michelle?
I was, after listening to this show last week, of course.
We went to a wedding fair. I can't remember, was it Silver Springs or where? And you were there yourself, Tim. And
it probably was
the rings.
Silver Springs. They were the main one during the wedding fair.
Yeah. Saw the rings, so, and they were totally different to what we'd seen anywhere else. And we went back in the following Saturday and we bought them.
Would it be at all possible, Tim, to replace it with the exact one? Or do wedding rings change in design and stuff over years?
Oh, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
They change. I mean, since then, how long ago was it?
Just 26 years ago, Neil, in fairness.
The style has changed a bit since then, all right.
Like the rest of us, Tim, we all changed in that time. You were probably in short pants back then.
I was, of course. I was only barely over to see the count, barely over
fair
the counter.
Play to boy. A lot of water under the bridge since then. So, do you think you might go...
I slow down at schools all the time, but like it's like a virtual stop. When you're driving a vehicle of my size, it's a stop.
Okay. I would be...
Compromise the norm, it's impossible to drive around the city in a van of my size. And I say most cars would find this.
Well, I can tell you one thing now, pal. You need to start practicing hard over the weekend.
I'll bring them to court.
No, practice hard. That's what you need to do. In fact, thank you for that, Sean. I would encourage everybody at the weekend now to be practicing, right? So that when it kicks in on Monday, you got to start practicing this, right? Slowing down. Now, you'll have bikes passing, you know, as in bicycles passing you. You'll have runners passing you. You might even have pedestrians passing you, but you need to start practicing. Michael, good morning.
Neil, how are you, boys?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. What's up?
I drive a truck for a living and I'm doing 30k there now in the truck, and the abuse, the flashy light, you name it, we'll get it.
Where are you driving at 13? Are you practicing, is it?
Yeah, I'm coming out there now by the Dulux Paint, heading out for the Mallow Road, and I'm doing 30 and I'm getting some abuse on the road.
Like what?
Flashing cars, fingers, out the window. They're past me, hello, and it's absolutely chaotic behind me. 30 kilometres an hour zone, and it's absolutely ludicrous.
Okay, well...
So, another thing, are they going to go in and change all these signs?
I'd speed up if I were you, if you're getting grief and abuse, you know?
Well, you just said to the last call there, we need to practice and we need to... Get on our game and have this all started from Monday morning.
Yeah, but I'd be inclined to maybe do the practicing early on a Sunday morning, not when there's lots of traffic around, you know?
Neil, stop nobody. They've asked us to do a lot
I would say get up early in the Arctic, maybe at 5 o'clock Sunday morning, and do a bit of practicing.
All I reckon this is.
Anyway, I need to get more calls on the air and see how we go with it. Text 0868104106.